We've just come out of days of commemoration or celebration. Juneteenth, and I speak about Juneteenth a whole lot during the month of June, and July 4th. And I was one of 10 judges in the city of Alameda for the parade, and after 145 floats, float number 140, there was someone who was dressed up as the Statue of Liberty. And I had to pause, because it reminded me of the words of Frederick Douglass as an enslaved person who was asked to speak on the 4th of July, on the 4th of July. And part of what he said was, "The freedom gained is yours, and you may therefore properly celebrate this anniversary, this 4th of July, which is a great fact in your nation's history. But, fellow citizens, pardon me, allow me to ask, why am I being called to speak here on this day? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the victim." Now you know why I don't wear red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. Those words, no doubt, represent the voice of millions of people who were captured in bondage and excommunicated from their continent and brought to the U.S., 12.5 million to be exact, minus the 2 million who died from inhumane conditions on their way and their offspring. And Frederick Douglass wrote this poem and gave this speech 76 years after July 4th, 1776. He wasn't feeling free 76 years after that. So if that wasn't freedom, then when was freedom? Was freedom June 19th, 1865, for which many people celebrate Juneteenth? I submit not. And let me give you a history lesson. So, the very first law that had to do with slavery was in 1808, and it ruled that importation of slaves was against the law. That was the law. It was never enforced, but that was a law back in 1808. So, in 1862, September 22nd, Lincoln issued the first of the Emancipation Proclamations that was actually in parts. And so the first part was a threat. He determined to cripple the Confederacy by issuing a mandate to end slavery if the Confederate states stayed in rebellion. It wasn't a noble effort, it was a war strategy. And he said that if they didn't cease their rebellion by January 1st, 1863, and some people do celebrate that day, hold that thought, the actual proclamation would go into effect. If they didn't cease rebellion by January 1st, on January 1st, that proclamation would go into effect. So they didn't, and his order went into effect, kinda. Lincoln was the head of the Union, not the Confederacy. He had no authority over the Confederacy. So he couldn't say that all slaves would be freed because he only had authority over the Union. Are you with me? It was a nice try. It was a nice statement. But he actually had no authority. He could only He could only say something about the people that he had authority over, who, and that was the Union. It wasn't the border states between the North and the South, and it definitely wasn't the South. So apart from that, once he issued the proclamation, it then went through the Senate and the House, and we know about that fight between the Senate and the House. And so the Senate reworked some of the Emancipation Proclamation, and then they sent it to the House, who reworked some of the Emancipation Proclamation. They came together, sent it to the states, and that happened on February 1st, 1865. Well, the war ended April 9th, 1865, when Lee surrendered. So then Lincoln had authority over the Union and the Confederacy. That was the moment in which he could say all slaves were free. Problem was, he died 6 days later. So he never actually got to be the person who freed the slaves because he wasn't around. And that's a historical omission that a lot of people don't know. It was Andrew Johnson, who ended up being president during that time period. So the announcement that was supposed to happen on June 19th was something that was going to be delivered by General Galveston, and General Granger in Galveston. And something that I didn't mention earlier was that General Granger was in favor of slavery. He was going to deliver this message, but it wasn't because he felt that slaves should be freed. In fact, he was contacted by slave owners in Texas when they knew that this was going to happen, and they said, we need to hold on to these slaves through the harvest. You can't say what you're going to say because it's going to ruin our crops and completely destroy us financially. And he said, I'll fix that. And so he said something different, and we're going to come up to that in just a minute. When he came to Galveston, he spoke to not the 250,000 enslaved people who were in Texas, but the people who happened to be around. So most of the enslaved people were still not free on June 19th, because they didn't know anything about the proclamation that Granger was delivering. They were working, because they were still enslaved. It's only if their enslavers were going to tell them about that and say, oh, we'll let you go, which most of them did not, would they have been freed. The ones who did know, who went back to their enslavers, didn't get the message that they thought they were going to give. John, can we have that video?
Sir, you must pay me for my work.
Paid? Have you lost your mind, slave?
I am not a slave anymore. I am free.
What did you say to me?
I am free, and you owe me for my work.
Says who?
The Emancipation Proclamation and the General. I'm free.
It's illegal for you to read, slave, so you must not be comprehended. You're in a border state, so it don't apply to you, so you're still my slave.
That is not true, sir.
You slaves think this paper's gonna bring heaven on earth? Hell's coming for the next 150 years, and I'm starting with you.
Freedom is defined as the power or right to act, to speak, or to think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. There are three types of freedoms: freedom from constraints, freedom to opportunities, and freedom of being, of claiming and owning who you are. So there was the announcement, but the announcement in itself didn't give people freedom from, freedom to, or freedom of being. In fact, there's information that I have to share with you about freedom, and let's have the first slide, John. I went here in South Carolina, I was speaking, and I was walking down a street and saw this sign, and there was an alley that was next to the sign with a bunch of pictures on the side. There wasn't a marquee, people weren't going for a tour or anything. It just happened to be this sign, and I looked at the sign, I looked to the left, and there was this cafe. It used to be like a Woolworths. It was a five and dime and then a lunch counter. And anyone who's old enough, I've been to a lunch counter at a Woolworths before. And in Rock Hill, South Carolina, back in the 60s, there were four students, black students, who attempted a nonviolent segregation sit-in at McCrory's. And there they are. They sat there, they came in the morning, they were still sitting there when McCrory's closed for the day. Never served. They just waited. Keep going. And if you see in the back, the police started to move them, to arrest them, to take them out for a quiet sit-in demonstration. Go ahead. And outside, there were 100 college students who began a series of protests, calm, quiet protests, carrying signs. And they took up that momentum. And from that one sit-in, there became sit-ins all over the South, just like that. Go ahead. They were taken directly from the courtroom and sentenced to 1 month in prison, chained to each other while doing mandatory labor. The NAACP and an organization called CORE and other students continued the protest until the following day, McCrory's permanently closed their counter. The students started to sing spirituals to keep their spirits up, but when they wouldn't stop singing, they were placed in solitary confinement. Go ahead. And can someone read this letter from one of the students to his mom?
That what I'm doing is right. I'll start over. Dear mom and dad, try to understand that what I'm doing is right. It isn't like going to jail for a crime like stealing or killing, but we are going for the betterment of all Negroes.
Solitary was a 12 by 12 foot room with a commode, a sink, and a drinking cup. So, was that freedom? Think about that definition. Power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Freedom to, freedom from, freedom of being. They didn't have that. Next slide. So General Granger gave his order. And the order says a lot of things. It says they have absolute equality of personal rights. They've changed from master-slave to a worker and their employer. They are advised to remain at their present homes and work for wages. And they're informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts. They can't be idle. But look at it again. Next slide. So it says slaves are free. But were they free? This involves equality of personal rights and rights of property. They had no personal rights. They had no property. When they were let out, there was nothing. They had absolutely nothing. They were supposed to be in a changed connection from slave and slave owner to employer and laborer. But that was a rule given to the enslaved person, not to the master. The rule was not, you must begin to pay your formerly enslaved people. You must consider them as hired workers and not as an enslaved person. They never got that order. The enslaved people got the order that that's what it was supposed to be. But as was shown in that video, can you imagine an enslaved person saying, I'm free now? And the slave owner says, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yes, you must pay me. Oh, no, 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 no. Because they didn't have that responsibility. It said, remain for wages, but that meant that basically you were in the exact same position, because if the slave owner was not going to pay you, you were an enslaved person working for nothing, with nothing. Many enslaved people were killed, were threatened to be killed and then killed if they left. It was said historically that it is one of the greatest lynchings of all time, was right after that order from General Granger. So someone said, while the order was critical to expanding freedom to enslaved people, the racist language used in the sentences foreshadowed that the fight for equal rights was still on and would continue. The words gave license to arrest and jail anybody for loitering, for hanging out, for saying, oh my gosh, I don't have anything. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You could get imprisoned for that and then placed under the exact same conditions that you were in, only in a jail rather than in someone's house. So is that freedom? I submit not. I submit not. Next slide. You could continue even now if you, that those words in that amendment still sit on the books. No one has changed them. So you could still be imprisoned for a crime and be subjected to the same same situation as an enslaved person. Go ahead. So what is Juneteenth for? What does it do? It helps us to remember the harsh reality of silence. There was silence from the time of the creation of the Emancipation Proclamation in September 1862 to Galveston, Texas on June 19th to December 1865 when it was ratified. There was silence. People didn't know. And it was a freedom that was their God-given freedom from birth that they didn't have, and people didn't know, and many people didn't stand up. It allows us to commemorate the work leading up to Juneteenth, because there were people in the South and the North who were fighting for freedom, black and white. And that is something that we continue to do even now, because the freedom that one might have as a white male person is greater than the freedom that one has as a white female person, is greater than the freedom that one has as a person of color on any given day. The imagined freedom that you may have every day when you walk outside your door and you get into your car and you go down the street is not the freedom that many people of color have any day. I can remember being in my car. I don't know how much time I have. I can remember being in my car with my son and my daughter. And we had the child lock in the back seat because my granddaughter would have been there, but she wasn't. But her car seat was there, and the child lock was on. My daughter was sitting on that side, and so she went to, my son was dropping her off at the store, and then we were going home. She went to get out, and she couldn't because the door was locked. So he pulled up by the store and got out of the car to go around to open the door for her so that she could get out. There were two police cars who came, lights blaring. And I thought, what the heck? And the officer said, what are you doing? And my son said, I'm opening the door for my sister. And he said, no, what are you doing? And I thought, oh, shoot. And so I was trying to get out, and he said, stay in the car. And my daughter was trying to roll the window down, but she couldn't. And my son just kept saying, I'm opening the door for my sister. The door's locked. The door's locked. And she can't get out. And I'm screaming, try the door, to the officer, who finally goes around and opens the door so my daughter could say, my brother was doing a nice thing that brothers don't always do, and he was coming around to open the door for me. And the officer froze, and I said, why did you choose my son? What was he doing that brought the question without you giving him the ability to answer? Because he was trying to answer you. What made you freeze and stop and not accept the things that he was saying? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And that's a situation that has happened more than once. And my son is one of those people who will never, I mean, he came with me to the 4th of July parade and there were refreshments for the judges and I told him he could have my donut because I wasn't going to have one and he said, oh no, because it's supposed to be for the judges. He's someone who always obeyed. And so it wasn't that he had a record, it wasn't that he looked like he was going to do something wrong, but he was chosen unfairly, unjustly. That's not free. Remember, no one is free if we're not all free. No one is free if we're not all free. Everyone's stuck in the car with the door locked if everybody can't get out. Until everyone can get out, we're not free. And if we throw away that and we say, oh, let's have a celebration, we forget the things that we need to remember, that the quest for freedom is an ongoing process that all of us are engaged in, whether you feel good or not about what happens in your day. It's your responsibility and it's my responsibility until everyone doesn't have to have that responsibility anymore. The struggle for freedom is a radical act. And when we commemorate Juneteenth, knowing that it was a radical act, then we understand, actually, it wasn't a day of freedom. It was a day of an announcement. That's what it was. And if people of color have to celebrate something, then they celebrate the fact that somebody, at least, recognized that people of color were people. And that in itself brought about the Emancipation Proclamation. That in itself brought about the announcement. And that we need to recognize. I'm going over a couple minutes. As humans, we tend to have the audacity to believe that we have the right to determine when and who can be free. We have the audacity to say that we're all free when we're not all free. We have the audacity to determine that what we consider freedom must be what everybody else considers as freedom. We have the audacity to feel that we have the right to put a price on human life. We have the audacity to determine that that price can be zero or less. We have the audacity to have the right to take time in silence over someone else's lack of freedom. We have the audacity to believe that we can forget that our everyday freedoms are not everyone's every day. Next slide. Those are the same students. So wait. So I'm going to say their names. And as I say their names, I want you, if you can, feel free to stand up in solidarity. John Gaines. Willie McLeod. James Wells, Tom Gaither, Robert McCullough, David Williamson Jr., Clarence Graham, Willie Massey, Mac Workman. They are an indication that Juneteenth is part of a trajectory, that July 4th is part of a limited trajectory, the struggle for freedom, the steps toward freedom. With it, we are reminded that our knowledge and allyship are our continued tools, that courage takes us along that trajectory, and freedom is not achieved, but is our common goal.